Sisters and brothers in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Well, here we are. We've been anticipating the arrival of this night, the celebration of our Savior's birth, aka Christmas. Yep. We've been anticipating the arrival of Jesus for at least the last four Sundays. We're happy that you're here with us this evening. Thank you for coming once again. And we're happy that each of you is here to worship and to celebrate this holy day together as family of God. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Christmas is here. And what's so good about it is that God, the creator of all that there is, God, the Emmanuel, is with us tonight, this night. Now, if you have been journeying with us the past 4 weeks, four Sundays, you know that we've been observing the season of Advent and anticipating the celebration of the birth of our Savior, as well as anticipating the second coming of the King of all kings. And now, here we are on Christmas Eve, on the verge of the celebration of the arrival of the light of the world, Jesus, the Son of the living God. Now, I really don't care who you are, but for us Christians, for all of us believers in Jesus as the Christ of God, the Christmas story is a powerful story. If you don't know that, perhaps this is the right time of the year to know it. The Christmas story is one of the most powerful stories there is. Filled with wonders, filled with miracles and real life events. It's the story of a God. It's the story of a God, the creator of the universe. It's the story of a God who chose to love and to be with his creation. Awesome. It's a story of a God who saw it fit to use a simple teenage girl to be the instrument of saving the world, to be the mother of the Savior of you and I. It's a story of a God born of a woman and came to earth as the most wonderful gift of all eternity. As we have walked with anticipation and with preparation through those past four Sundays of Advent, we have seen how the infant child of Bethlehem, the infant child of Mary, has brought hope, brought love, brought joy, and brought peace in the lives of so many. And today, he will do the same for us on this Christmas Eve. Tonight's gospel story tells us in Luke chapter 2 that while Mary and Joseph where in the city of David, in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there were no guest room available for them. See, Luke's description is so understated and yet so definitive. The Messiah, the anointed Son of the Most High God, chose to come into the world in the most humble of ways, as a man, as a baby, poor, vulnerable, physically dependent on others. The Son of the Most High God was not born in some palace. I'm reminded of a story by a fellow pastor up in Minnesota who this time of year will gladly tell the story about how the angels in heaven, once they heard that the Son of God was going to be born on earth, Gabriel and Michael and all the other angels had a staff meeting and they put a plan together and how to receive the Son of God when he's born. The plan included in sweeping, in cleaning Bethlehem until it was spick and span clean. Nothing was going to make this plan go wrong. They went to it. The entire city of Bethlehem was shined. It was spit shined. There was nothing out of place. Everything was as it should be. It was worthy of the place where the Son of the Most High God would be born. And then God saw what they were up to and told them, What are you all doing? They said, we had heard that your son is going to be born in Bethlehem. And so we took the task and cleaned that town. Nothing is out of place. Everything is worthy to receive the Son of the Most High God. God said, did I tell you to do that? No, sir, we took initiative. God said, well, that's not what I wanted. I want you all to put everything back, crap and all. Put it all back the way it was. Because if I had wanted my son to be born in some palatial palace, I would have done it. Well, the angels were a little bit miffed. All that work. But they did as they were instructed. They put everything back. The animals, the stinking shepherds, all the crap that went along with first century Bethlehem life. The Son of God was born in the most humble ways. Yes, the story of Christmas is filled with miracles. The greatest miracle of all happened where the Son of God, who was part of the Creator, created all that there is, now enters into the very creation that he had brought into being. And the miraculous announcements of the angels surrounding his birth at first were quiet, in dreams, in one-on-one encounter with Mary and the angel Gabriel, and then in a dream with Joseph and an angel. But then the announcement of the pregnancy got controversial, at least in appearance. For Mary and Joseph, it got a little dicey there for a while. And still, in the middle of it all, in the middle of all this, is Jesus, little baby Jesus, our Emmanuel, the God who chose to be with us. Despite of ourselves, despite of our waywardness and our sinfulness, this God decided to be Emmanuel for us, to be with us. Yes, Jesus is the fulfillment of all hope. Jesus is the embodiment of what true love is. Jesus is the source of all joy. And Jesus is peace. And of course, we know that Jesus is life. And because he has come, we can now be reunited. We can be connected. We can be bridged. We can be with God authentically, honestly, wholly, and eternally. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus says that he is the giver of life, full life. He said, I came so that you may have life and have it how much? Abundantly. And in John chapter 14, he says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. These are sacred words for us, true words. Words our faith is based on. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus is who we have figuratively waited and prepared for. He's the one we've been anticipating to come again. And Jesus, he's the one who continues to look, we continue to look forward to in eventually returning to judge the living and the dead. In the meantime, he is with us. That's what we're celebrating tonight, that he is with us, filling us with his life and his spirit. Now, as we arrive at Christmas, let's open our hearts to him in worship, in praise. Let's receive his hope, his love, his joy, his peace, and ultimately his life. I think the Apostle Paul captured a snapshot of this life we now have in Christ when he wrote in Romans, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of what Christ has done, we are at peace with God, no longer fearful of his wrath. We are at peace. Paul goes on to say, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice too. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that the help that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. What a beautiful description of the life brought to us by Christ. Tonight, on the eve of Christmas, let's be like those shepherds of long ago. Let's eagerly go to our Savior and worship the Lord, the God made flesh. And let us return glorifying and praising God when we find and know and when we experience all is as he had promised. Life everlasting through his son, the newborn son of Mary. Again, Merry Christmas, y'all, and a joyous and happy new year to y'all. Amen.